Welcome to the Fulham Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9.09 British Summer Time. Today is June 7th. Today was a rather important day, particularly in China. The Chinese authorities cut interest rates for the first time since 2008 by 25 basis points. But perhaps more importantly, they have liberalized the way in which the banking sector works, because they're giving the banks more leeway that they can pay out 10% more than the deposit rate, and they can charge less in terms of the lending rate. And there's quite a large spread between the deposit and the lending rates in China. They're considered two separate entities. That actually is perhaps more important than the 25 basis point cut. Now, this announcement happened after the market closed, so the fact that the stock market was a bit softer in here today isn't a reflection of what actually happened in the market out there. What happens tomorrow will probably be more important. The other key news item in here today was that Ben Bernanke said that the Fed was willing, saw a number of different tools that they could potentially use, but did not outline how they might be used and when they might be used. What is almost certain is that if the USA's modest growth, which has been hard won by the Fed's numerous interventions, comes under threat, then the likelihood of a QE3 rises exponentially. And it's very much the same in Europe. The Spanish credit ratings were downgraded again in here today. The Spanish are in talks with their various partners in Europe in order to secure some form of a bailout for the banking sector in particular. And the markets were generally quite mixed. When we look at Asia, they had such an impressive upward dynamic yesterday, and the majority held on to the advances but didn't really improve on them that much. India was a notable exception. If it holds on to its gains so far this week into tomorrow, it will have formed an upside key reversal. The rupee hasn't strengthened by any great degree, and that would certainly help to raise confidence in the ability of the stock market to sustain a rally if we do start to see the rupee starting to strengthen in here. The Japanese market was stronger by 1.25%. The yen was weaker in here today by 41 ticks against the US dollar. It's at 79.60 at present. The euro was a little bit weaker against the dollar. The pound was a little bit stronger. The Aussie dollar was a little bit weaker. But generally, the currency markets were relatively quiet in here today. Commodities, having rallied rather impressively yesterday, were all a little bit weaker in here today, and particularly in the precious metal sector. Gold was down by $28, silver was down by 91 cents, palladium was down $9, platinum was down $28. Silver broke out of its short-term range yesterday. It retraced a good part of the advance in here today, but it's still in the upper regions of that short-term range that it broke out of yesterday. Provided it finds support in this region and rallies in the next few days, then the potential for additional upside will remain very much intact. Gold, having rallied so remarkably impressively last Friday, spent much of this week ranging. It's pulling back a little bit in here today. It does need to now find support above the $1,520 area. And provided it can do that, then the potential for additional upside would remain very much intact. I'm rather tempted by gold at this area, but I think I'm going to wait at least until tomorrow before taking any kind of action, for the simple reason that I want to see it finding or demonstrating that there's a little bit of support being found in this region. The rest of the commodities sector was generally weak. The oil price, having been quite firm over the last few days, was a bit softer in here today. Natural gas was down by 14 cents. A number of the other energy-related commodities were a bit weaker in here. The industrial metals were relatively steady. The grains and beans were pretty firm. Soybeans was stronger by 42 cents. wheat by 17 cents, corn by 7 cents. They'd pretty much all pulled back to the lower side of their respective ranges, wheat in particular. They appear to have at least found short-term support in those areas, and they are starting to rally once more. When we look at the performance of various sectors, the commodity sector is notably oversold. Companies such as BHP Billiton and Rio Tinto are right down there at the lower side of their respective ranges. They appear to have found at least short-term support, and they could potentially be candidates for a rally from this area. The continuous commodity index, having rallied impressively yesterday, it was a bit weaker in here today. The very short-term progression of lower rally highs remains intact. That will really need to be broken to indicate that more than a short-term low has been formed, and to signal that mean reversion, at least a mean reversion rally, is getting underway. Commodities are oversold in the short term. The chances are that we are approaching, at least for a number of these commodities, that they've entered a period of support building. It does increase the potential for a short covering rally and a reversion towards the mean for some of the most overextended to the downside. Cotton is a clear example. It has quite a similar trajectory to the continuous commodity index, the old CRB, in the short term. And even though the medium term trend continues to look bearish, there remains short term potential for a relatively significant rally if we do start to see some short covering. We remain in this market that is very much policy driven. The fact that China has taken more aggressive steps towards easing, and China's easing policy has been in evidence now in that 10 and 2 year yield curve spread for at least the last 4 or 5 months. Today's action was an additional step on that road to easing. We can anticipate that there are going to be others. China tends to use a whole spectrum of policy tools. The fact that it not only cut interest rates but also liberalized the way the banking sector works is an innovative way of helping to cushion a downside potential for the economy. The greater the threat is to growth in China, the more aggressive we can anticipate that their policy response is going to be. What is certainly clear is that they do recognize that they made mistakes with the way that the money was dispersed and how it was spent back in 2009. They will certainly attempt to change the way that happens this time around, but what does look increasingly certain is that we are heading into a much easier monetary environment in China, and that that is going to have repercussions elsewhere. We're also approaching a position in Europe where there is a grand bargain starting to form. Everyone understands that there isn't a euro if you lose your fourth largest member, and that there is going to have to be some greater steps taken towards federalism. It's a very bumpy road, but provided there are political steps taken, then the ECB is standing there willing to lend a monetary hand. And that is pretty much what Mario Draghi said yesterday. Ben Bernanke is saying something very similar. He's saying that there will be a monetary policy response if it is needed. They don't see that the current situation warrants immediate action. We have short-term oversold conditions on a number of stock markets. We've had a good bounce this week. At least a near-term low has been posted by a number of these markets. For the bears for the most vociferous of the bears to be proven correct, then we would need to see that this week's and last week's lows are taken out on a sustained basis. And in the absence of that type of move, then the benefit of the doubt can be given and be continue to be given to the short-term upside. That is, of course, with the proviso that the stimulus that the market is beginning to price into these markets actually comes through. I don't believe there's any real reason to suspect that the Europeans aren't going to find some way to muddle through once more out of this particular version of the crisis and probably into another one in the next few months, and the ECB is likely to do its part. So we remain in a very interesting time. Volatility remains still very much a factor. Investors are, I think, traumatized by the degree of volatility and the massive swings that we've had in markets over the last 3 years. But everyone is really starting to get the message. And that is, when monetary policy is easy, then it is a tide that tends to lift all boats. The Treasury markets are worth watching in that regard, because while when one looks at stock markets, the evidence of a near-term low is there, the declines are still comparatively consistent. But when one looks at US Treasuries and a number of those government bond markets, they've posted by far their largest reaction in the course of what has been a remarkably consistent three-month uptrend. That's an inconsistency. That does suggest that a peak of at least near-term significance has been reached and that trend deterioration has increased. It is looking increasingly likely that US Treasuries have hit a medium-term peak. If that is the case, then the case for a medium-term low having been reached by stock markets is considerably bolstered. So when we look at the interaction of these markets, we see that commodity prices have pulled back very sharply. We're getting a reset in terms of inflationary expectations. Commodities have pulled back. Short-term tip yields have gone higher, so no one is expecting inflation in the current environment. That gives ample opportunity to central banks to ease and to increase the supply of money. People are starting to worry about a slowing economy in Asia, recessions in Europe, and the potential for a recessionary environment to grip the USA as a result. So with those types of fears growing, and of course we have had a very difficult few months in global stock markets and sentiment has deteriorated considerably, now is the time to be particularly diligent in looking at charts, because that's the reality. And when we've had a big decline in markets, sentiment tends to become increasingly emotional, and the volatility in the market doesn't help that. So this really is the time to watch those charts, and particularly US Treasuries. They've been an excellent bellwether for sentiment and how people are behaving with their money. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.